like us to sing some hymns that have to do with a subject on the board. That is in 2009, Keep Praying in Mind. And the matter is praying tonight. Let's sing 682, Trusting Jesus. Praying, praying if the path is drear in that hymn. And so let's sing 682. If you'll turn to the section on praying in the hymnal, 528, from every stormy wind that blows. Now we're in a section about praying.
Yes. it's a tremendous hymn. I just didn't pick it out of the sky. The words are tremendous. I think we should plow on through. I think you'll get it. We've sung it.
On the third.
There is a spot where spirits burn, where friends shall fellowship with faint. There are surrender for what faith may be. Around the coming mercy,
see how we do with 530. Behold a throne of grace. That's not going to do it. I'm going to have you sing another few pages towards the back. 534, Sweet Hour Prayer. And that ought to help us to sing better tonight. 534.
My Father's throne, may all
scripture and prayer.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, my wings shall my petition turn to Him who's true and faithfulness engaged the waiting soul to bless. And since He bids me seek His face, believe His word and trust His grace. I cast on Him my every care and wait for Thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Now hear the word of God. Continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Our Father, as we're tonight here for the occasion of praising You and singing some of these hymns, and also as we look at this passage tonight, especially this verse 2 of this fourth chapter, then may we see the guidelines for praying. May we see the necessity of continuing steadfastly in prayer. May we also see the need for being watchful in prayer and also thankful in prayer. And so we ask for Your guidance in our study. We ask that You would work in our hearts, because we need to have the truth concerning the matter of prayer, even as we think of this new year. May our Lord Jesus Christ receive honor and praise. In His name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Bob. I had finished verse 1 of chapter 4 of Colossians, and the matter of household items, and we talked about the matter of wives in verse 18. Talked about husbands and children and fathers and servants, and then we talked about masters, or with they can be today employers and employees. Now, as soon as we have looked at those things, we have a call for praying. And you know those items do need to be prayed about. There are a lot of matters that have to do with our households. And so tonight we're looking at this verse 2, the very next verse in line of chapter 4, where we're told to continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. And you look at it like I did and said, well, there isn't much there you need to worry about. I guess we understand that good enough. Let's go on. No, I can't do that. And As I studied this, I came across the thought of my mind, you know, this church, we need to be praying in the year 2009. You'd say, well, that's quite evident. Now, hold on. And 2009, keep praying and in mind. Now, is it really that vital? So you say it's vital. Well, we know about prayer, so I don't think I need to learn any more about prayer. I heard it a lot of times. You see, that's kind of the attitude I had when I looked at this. Say, well, I preached on praying. We've heard about praying. Now, what do I have to do this? But if you go through a book, expository preaching, you don't say, well, I'm not going to preach on that one. No, no, no. If this is what you're going to do, you preach on that. It's okay. I'll preach on it. Because I find the more I studied it, and I did study it, that we need to saturate our prayers for 2009 more than you think. And so that's what I want to do. I want us to look at these guidelines. They're very simple. And a guideline like what? Well, you're just a guideline to continue in prayer, and the guideline to watch in prayer the same, and also pray with thanksgiving. It's quite elementary. Is it really? I don't find it elementary. I find that if you look at the words in the Greek, the word continue is quite a tremendous word. It has the idea of earnestly or perseveringly watching, or continuing, I should say, not watching. Watching is the next one. But continually, that is to be persistent about praying. Because you can get deflected from praying if you're not careful. Oh, I'm a busy guy. Hey, I got things to do, places to go. I don't have time to talk about prayer. You see, that's not good. You say, well, I pray every day. Say, well, then all that is good. But is it just a habit? Now I lay me down to sleep. Now, come on, don't be critical. No, but is that what your prayer life is? Same old, same old. Is that the way to approach a new year that we know nothing about? No, I don't think so. You know, it's easy to just give up and say, well, I've tried this business of praying, preacher, and you know what? It just hasn't been that successful. And I just don't think that I'm really too much interested. I think I'll just kind of bypass that, and I'll study some more things, more theological things, not this practical aspect of praying. Now, don't do that either. That's dangerous when you give an idea that you're going to do this and I'm going to do that. I don't particularly care what it says there. I can't learn anymore. But it's saying you're to continue steadfastly, perseveringly, when things even go the wrong way. When problems are just a lot of problems, well, then maybe I will pray when I have a lot of problems. No, I think that to best handle this would go by a cross-reference. Do you have a cross-reference? It's back to Luke chapter 18, and you'll find there's a good... See, if I understood chapter 18, the first 8 verses, then I wouldn't need to pay so much attention, then would I have to preach it? No, I don't think that's the complete answer, but Luke 18 does really do a good job in explaining what it means to continue earnestly in praying. And how about this kind of praying? And verse 18, chapter 18, verse 1 of Luke, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. The men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. We know about them. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. He would not for a while, but after, wait a minute. She came to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. What's it saying? It's saying, well, you just continue to earnestly keep praying about some of these matters. Oh, but it's quite a while. Yes, it's been quite a while. Don't quit. It's easy to quit. Anybody can quit. This passage in Colossians chapter 4, 2 says, don't quit. Be at it continually, steadfastly. That's what I want, to continue steadfastly in prayer. You know, it's really a spiritual thermometer for us of your life. You say, well, how would a spiritual thermometer work with me? You all know what that is. Let's see how your prayer life is. It pretty well determines what kind of spiritual life you have. What your spiritual thermometer say about your life, your spiritual life, about no matter praying? Well, I tell you, we can say, I don't pray that much, and I don't know how to pray that much, and it's not my thing. I'm not a prayer warrior, and I'm given the gift of doing other things, and hey, I'm not into that kind of thing. Wait a minute. You can't do that either. You can't do that either. You can't rationalize that. You're to be dependent upon the Lord in everything as well as I am. And when you get to the place where you say, well, I don't need to do that. I don't need to cultivate a prayer life. I've been around a long time, been there, done that, and doesn't seem to do much for me. You know, you're really what you're saying. You're saying that yourself is really very important. And it's a humbling thing to pray. But I don't need to pray. Oh, friends, I don't believe there's any like that here tonight. But I wonder sometimes when you can go an entire day without it praying, gotta be, the spiritual thermometer isn't showing very much, is it, if you go the whole day without praying? I can see why verse 2 perhaps is rather momentous, even though it looks very simple. And that is, we're to continue in prayer. That means steadfastly. Don't give up. You know, there is a verse that I like, and you've heard it, is in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that is, pray without ceasing. Now, there's a good verse. We're going to talk about praying. Pray without ceasing. Now, can you imagine? Most people say, pray without ceasing. Hey, that making sense. Why? Well, can you imagine a man trying to pray all day, has his head bowed, his eyes closed, and he's supposed to be praying without ceasing? Well, what good would he be to help anybody work? He just has his head bowed, and he has his hands closed, and his eyes closed, and his hands folded. That's ridiculous. No, it isn't ridiculous. But some of us are so foolish to think that you only can pray with your eyes closed, and maybe your hands folded, and your head bowed, and that's the only way you can pray. Well, I don't know where you're coming from. That's not what the Bible teaches. We had some folk here years ago, and they said, don't the church pray on their knees when you pray? So, no, we don't do that. I think it's a good idea. I pray on my knees sometimes, but I got to tell you something. I'm a man, and I can fall asleep on my knees. So I sometimes walk around. I do things, and I'm praying. Well, that's good for you. How long do you last when you're on your knees, say by your bed, and you're tired? Don't tell me you don't fall asleep. There are times when in prayer meeting that people will fall asleep, especially if you have some long-winded people that pray and pray and pray and pray. And they hear some snoring over here somewhere. Well, you say, That's kind of critical. Well, the thing with it is, though, this matter of praying is praying without ceasing. It's an informal, it may be a formal thing where you're working. Listen, don't tell me that, ladies, don't tell me that you have to do a lot of concentration on doing that particular item. Don't tell me, you guys, hey, I got to really think hard in order to pound this thing and do this. I really have to really preach, you know, real hard to do that. No, you don't. You can do that, and while you're doing that, you can be praying too. It doesn't take a lot of concentration for some of the, a lot of things that we do. And to pray without ceasing is, well, you're folding papers. You can be praying also. And I think that's a beautiful verse, pray without ceasing. And I think it can be done. And I practice it. And I think maybe if you haven't learned how to do it, you ought to learn how to do it. Well, where was I? We're talking about steadfastly, continually praying. That's where we were. And to make it a lifestyle for 2009, keep praying in mind. I tell you, friends, if we can saturate prayer, be saturated with prayer, this church may surprise you. I think we need a lot of prayer. I really do. You say, well, we have prayer meetings. We have good prayer meetings. Amen. And I appreciate them. But I'm going beyond the prayer meeting now. I'm talking about, let us, while we're working at home and doing things at the job, that we would be asking, Lord, keep praying. Keep it in mind. And I was thinking about that I said to Brother Rick, I don't know, it could even be a motto for the years. Well, at least for me, I don't know about you. But in 2009, keep praying in mind. Say, oh, that'll rhyme a little bit, that ought to help you. But if that won't help you, you know you can have a little crux, and that is KP. Some of you young folk don't know what KP means. It means kitchen patrol, or kitchen police. Say, what do you mean? Well, you need KP. You need to keep praying. And in 2009, keep it in mind. It'd be something, wouldn't it, if I call you on the phone line and you say, hello, I'd say, keep praying. You'd say, well, now there he goes. He said he's going to talk to me like that. You think he'll do something like that if he calls me on the phone? I think we ought to really consider this. All these things, verses 18 in the third chapter, homes and families and marriage and children, fathers and employees and employers, and the next thing comes up is praying. Don't tell me there's not a connection. You got any problems around home? Any of your family? All your kids saved? All your grandkids saved? Say, well, I don't know if it does any good. Oh, brethren, you don't talk that way. I know you don't. But do you have a desire? Is there a little desire in verse 2? And say, well, I'd like to be able to pray that God would be pleased. Or is it a burdensome thing? Say, well, I don't know. Praying is, and it is hard work. There is hard work to it, I must tell you. Because the very next part of that verse 2 tells us that we've got to watch. And that word watch is an interesting word too. But let me ask you something. What needs do you have in your life? You say, well, I'm not going to tell you. No, you don't have to tell me. I'm asking you an oratorical kind of a question. You can put down needs that I have in your life. And do you have any spiritual needs? Got any sin problems? Do you need anything materially? Do you ever write down a list? And do you ever say, that prayer was answered, praise God, that prayer was answered, God answered the prayer. You know, I just wish that I were able to have recorded a phone call that I received during my lunch hour. It was a strange one. I made a strange, get some strange calls. From a public phone in Jersey Shore area. A man called me and he said, are you the pastor of the church that has that sign? It says, if you have the tools, I got work for you to do. You saw that, didn't you, Rick? Down here, church down the road a ways. He said, I want to ask you about that sign. I said, well, that's not the church, our church. He said, you know, that sign, he said it was down at the mall. And he said, that sign bothers me. If you have the tools, I got work for you to do. He said, is that reference to a job? Or is that a spiritual thing? I said, it's probably a spiritual thing. He said, well, I wasn't sure, so I thought I'd call you. And we talked for over an hour. What does he do? Well, he's an artist, he says. And he has an old truck, and he travels around. And he knows a lot of scripture. And he's been indoctrinated. I didn't say he was instructed, but he'd been indoctrinated. And he's really bitter. Why is he bitter? He said, I suppose you're one of those guys that say you got to be saved. And I said, well, I do believe in one person has to be saved. He said, yep. He said, but he said, you know, I believe that God ought to take care of his children. He was saying he ought to go first class, you know. And he said, I've been without food. No, nobody's without food, man, all day. He said, I've been without food. And he said, I was walking down the street and I don't know what they are, coin like, but a stamp, a food stamp. It hit me on the chest and he said, I picked it up and it was worth a dollar. He said, I was hungry. So he said, I went and bought a loaf of bread. Must have been on sale. And he said, he ate the thing and got sick. But he said, I can't always say just the bread. He said, I ate out of a garbage can too. He said, I'd end up in emergency room. And he said, I had to stay there to keep warm. He said, I'm an artist. And he said, I've given my life completely to God. And he said, I believe God ought to take care of me. And he said, I ought not to be eating out of garbage cans. And I said, hey, look, I don't know where you are, but you're traveling. I said, come on down. I'll give you something to eat. No, he said, thank you. That's nice of you to do that. But he said, I think people got it all mixed up. Got it all mixed up. And he was bitter towards God. Now, you can get kind of mixed up and you'd say, well, this is the way I see it and that's the way I'm going to do it. He said, you know, I'm drawing a picture of the Lord Jesus eating out of a garbage can with some bag ladies standing around about it. It's a funny world, isn't it? But you see, friends, don't get the idea that everybody's like you. Why he called me, I don't know. I tried to encourage him. And he said, well, I probably won't see you. I'm going to keep on traveling. What's that have to do with praying? It has a lot to do with praying. And I just thought about how we need to pray for one another. He said, you know, I had this experience the other day. I went down to the dump and he said, I was there in the dump and the guy was throwing things out of his car or whatever. And he said, I felt that I ought to go over and talk to him. So he said, I went over and talked to him and I talked to him about the Lord. And he said, I walked away and then I went back. He said, I said to him, now, sir, I talked to you about the Lord, but you need to trust the Lord for your salvation. He said, I just felt like I should do that. You say, well, probably the man has a mental problem. I worked in a mental hospital, and I used to talk to the psychiatrist, and he thinks we're all a little crazy. You think maybe you're not a little crazy, too? That's where they look at it and say, I think everybody's a little crazy. But anyway, this matter of praying. To pray for others. He said, would you pray for that fellow that was at the dump and throwing things away, and I talked to him about the Lord Jesus. Would you pray for him? I said, yeah, I'll pray for him. So I know his name. And I said, I'll tell you something else. I know your name is Mike, but I don't know what your last name is, but I'm going to put you on my prayer and pray for you, Mike. He said, well, I won't do any good, I don't think, but he said, you see, some people are really sour and turned off. We need to pray. You know, if you approach prayer, say, well, I got to pray. Got to have it. That's a good habit. Got to have it. Hey, don't bother me. Got a time. It's a habit. It's got to be more than a habit. I'm not knocking it. I do think there needs to be, you know, walking around. You can't get very deep walking around. You see, you just said pray without ceasing. You walk around. Yeah, but you can't get very deep walking around. You've got to be still and know God. You got to take a little time, a little meditation, reading of the Bible. You know, you need to do that. Just because you can pass the test or something, that doesn't mean that you know everything. And you know, it's one thing to know all these good things and all these good doctrines, but do you know anything about a prayer life where God answers prayer? The importance of praying. This verse too is Colossians 4. There is really something. So we need to pray for others, and you know it's a humbling thing. If you're the kind of person that thinks, "Hey, I've been there, done that. I don't need anybody to tell me what to do about praying." Be careful. That doesn't show much humility. And I think looking at verse 2, it tells me that it says. Continue, that word continue has the idea in the Greek to persevere. It means to be steadfastness. It has the idea, don't quit. Don't quit. And it has the idea that even though answer's not there, hasn't come yet, don't quit. And don't think that because you ask for something that God, if you're a child of God through faith in Christ, that he ought to give it to you. Suppose your parents would have given you everything that you wanted. Yeah. Suppose they had given you everything that you wanted. Wouldn't you be in a mess? Probably wouldn't be even living now. I met some people that were spoiled. And they were in their 20s and in their 20s and their 30s. Boy, they're a mess. They just had money and they're just spoiled rotten. And I said, you can be spoiled even though you're an older person. If you think that I'm self-sufficient, hey, I don't have to ask God, I can do. Woo! I wouldn't even try to think that if I were you, friends. I wouldn't think that. You may find yourself in a situation like Job, and I know we can't think that way. And you know, when God has us to wait, it said no. It says here to continue. That's the word there in verse 2. Yes, I know it's the word. It has the idea of persevering. Keep on keeping on. I know it has the idea of earnestly keeping on. Well, is he hard hearing? No, he's not hard hearing. But he may say, not now. There may be delays. And he may have something better than what you're asking for. And he may have you to think a little bit. Do I really think that that prayer request is really that important? Do I really have it down cold? I'm praying about this such and such a matter. Is that what I really should be praying about? Rethink it a little bit. Is that really that important? So the Lord sometimes, I believe, causes us to wait. I don't know. There is the lingering. To linger long at the throne of grace. Verse 2. And that is keep at it. Keep at it. Well, what's the second part? Well, it's very obvious. And that is, it is saying here about watchfulness. Watch and pray, we know about that. But before we get there, I want to ask you a question. What is prayer? Well, what do you mean, what is prayer? What is prayer? Well, I guess talking to God. Yeah, that's good. It's making requests to God. It's speaking to the Lord. And it's not just asking for stuff, because it involves a whole lot of things. Do you take verse 2, where I'm not ready to go into that second part yet. I want to spend a little more time in continuing in prayer. Do you take verse 2 that prayer is also not just asking for this, God give me this, God give me that, God I want this, God I want that. Is the prayer also a place for confessing your sins? Is prayer also a place where you to give thanks? Oh yeah, it says that in verse 2. Aren't you going to get to that? Yes, I'll get to that eventually. And it's a place for praise. You know, I'd like you to turn to John's Gospel 14 and to read a couple of verses. John's Gospel. Why? You'll see why. John 14, in this matter of prayer. And maybe it'll help us to understand it a little better. Now look at Gospel of John chapter 14, starting in verse 13. Look at this wonderful promise. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. You say, well, that's a blank check. I'll just write it out and God says he's going to answer. Yeah, but you know there's ramifications to that, don't you? You know it has to be according to his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It has to do with the will, but there is this boldness. And we're going to get into that. I'm not through with this subject on prayer tonight. You know that if you read the rest of that chapter of the first part of chapter 4 of Colossians, there's more prayer involved here. But it is wonderful that God says, look at whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Wow. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. There are requirements. I understand that. But it's nice to have something like that to encourage you. Say, well, that's a tremendous verse. The Lord Jesus Christ made that very clear. And so God does say, I want you to pray. And I want you to pray in my name, that is Christ's name, pray, and it's his will that we ask for things. Yes, it is. Material, spiritual, forgiveness of sins. Don't tell me you don't sin in thought, word, or deed. And there needs to be forgiveness. And so I believe the scripture makes it clear. He loves to look upon our countenance and hear our voice. Now, you may not enjoy hearing my voice, but at least you come at least. But he said, I love to look upon your countenance and to hear your voice. So I want you to pray. You know, and here we are at the beginning of 2009. I keep praying in mind. Let it be up on the list, the top of your great big agenda. Put it up there. KP duty. Keep praying. Yes, you make it so simple. But when it says let the Son be magnified, the Lord is magnified. I think that's great. And not only when he's magnified, but it also increases our joy. And you want the joy unspeakable and full of glory. You want a fuller Christian life. Then pay attention to Colossians 2, chapter 4 and verse 2. Pay attention to it. Someone said prayer is like breathing. Well, okay, what do you mean? Well, you inhale and you exhale. Sure, yeah, air. Well, how does that figure with spiritual? He said, well, when you read the Bible here preaching, you're taking it in. You're inhaling. Now, exhaling is praying. I say, well, that's pretty good. Yeah, it is. It's as natural as breathing. When you hear great truths, the Word of God, you're taking in the Word of God, and great spiritual things, the Bible, you take these things in, and then the best way to handle the air that's in is to exhale, and is by prayer. So continue in prayer is what the Bible is saying. And the word is, yeah, here we go. Some of you like this. It has the idea of orderliness. Orderliness, not hit and miss. Yes, it does. What do you mean? That word continue has the idea of orderliness. And not hit and miss or haphazard. Yeah, well, I tried it out. And you asked me to have a New Year's resolutions about keep praying. And he said, I'll probably try it a little bit. But, you know, I'll get busy and I'll forget it. No. The word continue there is that you don't treat it as a hit and miss or haphazardly. You've got to have a method if you're going to use it. Does God really want us to do that? Is it really that serious? I think enough already said this to show you the importance of praying. Look at the next part of verse 2 of Colossians, of chapter 4 and 2. And it says, watching the same. What's that have to do? That has to do with the word to watch. Yes, I see that. That has the idea to be alert. In the old days when I was substitute teaching, sometimes I would go to the boys for gym class and be a teacher for gym. Then they have swimming. And so it was my job to be the guard. And I had to keep watching. You know how boys are. Got to keep watching. There's a little roughness going on over there. Blow a whistle. And it has the idea of being a guard. I want to pray. Good. The first thing you need to know about praying is you keep at it and persevere. Secondly, you be alert because it'll be a thing that will cause you to get sluggish and sleepy and it's a burden thing. I can't keep this thing up. There's distractions. Isn't it something? Now, I can't speak for myself in this, but you can watch a TV program and stay awake. But try to talk a little bit to the Lord. And you fall asleep. No, that's not true. Some of us fall asleep and turn the TV on, but you know what I'm trying to say. Generally speaking, you can stay awake at a good movie, maybe, but when I go to praying, oh, so tired. And then the dog barks, or doorbell rings, phone rings, just all kinds of hindrances. So this is the word watch. And it says, watchfulness in praying. That's what it's saying. You got to be alert. You got to be alert. And it's necessary. And you remember Daniel? He prayed 3 times a day. And he was going against the government. My was he going. The only thing, they made a law. The law says he can only pray to the king. And there he goes up on the top floor and opens the window towards Jerusalem. And 3 times a day, this politician, the believer, he's praying to God. Made it a point of praying. The Bible speaks about praying that way, 2-3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. Say, well, that's a nice system. That isn't much for my thinking, but I think to be alert, I don't know if I can do this or not, but I'll try it. Anybody know what concentricity is? Concentricity. My dad showed me one time. I was out here working on a piece of equipment, and here was the problem. And so it wasn't round, it was like this. Concentricity has the idea, they aren't really circles, they're kind of, not a full circle, it's like this. You had to turn this nut a certain way for it to hold. If I were to say, what are you trying to show me? Somewhere in praying, we got to start. And in the first line, I think you ought to pray for yourself. Yeah, I think you ought to pray for yourself. I mean, if you're going to pray for everybody, don't forget yourself. Start here with yourself at the first line of concentricity. You've got problems. You have needs. And start with yourself. Lord, you know how it is with me. Talk to the Lord about yourself. Then you may take the second and you talk about my family. Boy, that's squeaking up here, Bob. We got to take care of that thing. And squeaking up here. I heard Rick squeak this morning up here. But anyway, the second is about your family. You have kids. You have grandchildren. You know they need help. Pray. And the idea here is to be alert. Say, I don't know what to pray about. Man, there's so many things. But if you just go from the south out to the family, and then you can go out to the church. And I know the preacher needs prayer. He's getting old. I know the leadership needs good prayer. They're getting old. The church people themselves had sickness and so forth, and there's difficulties they need to be prayed for. And then we can go on a little further, and you talk about missions, missionaries, and evangelism. You say, well, what is that all about? Is to have a pattern to keep yourself alert so you don't go wandering off someplace and say, well, I don't know. I started out, I talked to the Lord about Uncle Joe and so forth. But after that, I just forgot. I didn't know what else to talk about. It's just an idea how to do some of these things. I like what my roommate said years ago. He said, you know, he said, Bill, he said, I went to a Kingston Baptist Church in Wilkes-Barre area, and he said, a strange thing happened. He said, there was an elderly fellow, and I was at their prayer meeting. In that prayer meeting, you know, his whole prayer, he took the Word of God. He quote the Word of God and said, God, now you said this. And God, and he quotes the scripture, and you said this. He said, never heard anybody pray like that. And he was impressed. I would be impressed too. You promised, Lord, this. And I'm going to ask you, Lord, what if you'll do this. Say, will you do that? Well, I try to do that at times, but I'm not real good at that. You might be able to pick it up. We're all different, you know that. But the idea here to be alert. And I think that's one of the reasons why prayer meetings, to me, is a delight. I like prayer meeting. Just delight to hear people pray. I mean that. I think it's a very important meeting. I really do. You say, well, preaching is more important. Oh, wait a minute. You have to show me that preaching is more important than this. Verse 2. Fellowship. And I said to that man on the phone, I said, you need to have fellowship with Christians. And he said, well, he said, I don't go to church. I read my Bible every day, though. And you know, it's strange how we need each other and the love of the brethren and all that. And to attend Wednesday night prayer meetings. I think it's very important. The word alert is where we are, aren't we? We're in that watch, guard, and be alert in prayer. Alert. That has the idea, you know, you can fall asleep. I've been saying that. I said to you that you can also get sluggish, and you can wander off. So you start to pray, and say you start something like this, and if you're not careful, you don't get to the second ring, so to speak, and you're wandering off. Say, boy, I got to get this. When I get time, I got to get that done. Start wandering off. I know what it is to wander off in a church service. Say, oh, the preacher's preaching, and my mind goes off someplace. And that's a problem. He said, don't be alert. Guard yourself. That's what that word means in here. Watch means that in the Greek. Oh, okay. And you know, it's easy to get in general. Lord bless all the missionaries. You'll say, what's wrong with that? At least you remembered it. No, you ought to be more specific. Some details. Pray for individuals. The needs that they would have. You have some idea of needs. If you heard them speak, don't just say, I pray for Ken Ashcroft. Well, of course, please do. But be more specific about it. You say, well, what does that have to do with the word alert or watch? Because if you're not careful, you just say, Ken Ashcroft, Lord. So what are you saying Ken Ashcroft for? Well, I want you to watch over him. Well, tell me then. What do you want for Ken and Kath or Joel? Tell me what you want. Oh, okay, Lord. I understand that. Let's go on to the last one. And that is pray with thanksgiving. There we go. There we go. So what are you going to thank the Lord for? Well, I'll thank the Lord he saved me. Amen. I'm going to thank the Lord that he's taken care of me, he feeds me, and he clothes me, and I have a job, I got a bed. You ever thank the Lord for your bed? Boy, if you ever get tired and you see that bed and say, Lord, it's, and you crawl on that bed, and this is just so wonderful to go to have a bed like. Some people won't have a bed. Sleep in a cardboard box. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know what to thank the Lord for. There's just so many things that he wants to say. Hear us say thank you. When there's a world of people that don't have anything near what you have. You see, we need to keep praying. This church needs prayer. I know it needs prayer. You say, well, we're going on, are we? Yeah, I don't know how we're going on, to tell you the truth. By all rights, we ought to be closed. So if you don't think I'm serious about this tonight, you better get another guess. This is vital that in 2009, keep praying in mind. If we saturate God with prayers, not only for ourselves and our families and things, but if we pray for this church, God's blessing be upon you. Say, well, it's blessed now with all kinds of truths. Yes, we are, and thank God for that. But I'm not sure that we're all praying for God to be magnified, glorified in this church's ministry. You have some friends? This man said he doesn't have any friends. Well, I can talk to somebody. Yeah, it's wonderful to have some friends, isn't it? A lot of things, the last part of verse 2, it would be have prayer with thanksgiving, thankfulness, thankful praying for the providence of God in our lives. Some of you know what it is. Say, I don't know how it ever happened. I thought I was a goner. I tell you, that car was coming straight at me. I just said the other day, people are saying there was a hurricane coming, and it's proven, it's there, John Noble saw it. He said, head right straight for your place. And it was so strong, it blew away the houses down the road. It came right up there across that field, and it took a 90 degrees that way. It head right for us. You say, well, that's consequences. You do that if you'd like. I'm talking providence of the Lord. Thank the Lord for little things like that. That would have done a big thing if it came right across there. You say, well, does it always work that way? No, I'm not saying it doesn't. But don't get the idea that our God is a God. He's up there, and he's got a giant cash register. I can just ask him, and he has this big cash register, and from heaven he'll throw it right down to us and take care of us, and I won't have anything to worry about. I don't know what your idea of God is, but be careful you don't get in that kind of a rut. You don't know the way of God, but you can talk to him about it, ask him help, and you can thank him for answering prayer. Bounce the petitions. Lord, I like this. Lord, I wish you'd do this. Perhaps you'd do this, Lord. But also give them some thanks. It's nice to thank people. You thank people? Or do you just take it for granted? That's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. Yes. It says in the last days that the generation will be ungrateful, ingrats. I hope you're not part of the ingrats. Take everything for granted. So in 2009, keep praying in mind. Oh, yes. Thank him for listening to you. He does listen. And for answering prayer. It should change our attitude a little bit. And our outlook. If we believe in a God who answers prayer. Yes. You know, if you don't pray, I'll put it to you like this. It's not likely that God's going to really bless you like you could be blessed. Now, I know the rain falls upon the righteous and the unrighteous. I know that. But if you don't pray, you better be warned up here ahead of time. Don't expect God's going to be just blessing you if you don't talk to him about it. Well, if he loves to hear us, you have a verse, something that would help us? Well, in James, closing out. James chapter 4. What does James chapter 4 and verse 2 have to say about the subject? Well, it says, you lust. So I like this, I need this. Yes, you need some things? So, well, I could really use that. James 4 and verse 2 say you lust and you have not. You kill. That is the word that really means to envy, in case you didn't know it. It's you kill and desire to have, and you cannot attain. You fight and you war. Yet you have not because, you see it there? Those last three words? You ask not. Oh, I don't think I have to do all that like you said. I don't think that's important. All right, take the word of God for it then. So the reason we have not is because we ask not. I think that's a good closing word. And if we can keep this in mind, perhaps the Lord will give us a real harvest year if we press in on prayer. And it may surprise you what the Lord can do. I have a verse I'm going to use for a benediction. In case you think, well, I don't think it's really amount to that much. Let's stand. I'll read you a verse. A couple of verses. Listen to this. Better get the right book first. Here it is. All right. Think about praying now. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. What? Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly with all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And if we're children of God through faith in Christ, and we have the Spirit of God, he wants to have us to pray. I wonder if you would think about dedicating yourself to do this year and pray. Keep on praying. And watch out for and guard. Be alert as to what can cause you to wander away and not keep this practice going for the year. But also don't forget to be grateful and thankful for the Lord in blessing you in so many ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, I must, before I take any input, contextually there is more in prayer in this fourth chapter of Colossians, so I'm not through it. But perhaps you have a thought I would like to share on this thought of having keep praying in mind for 2009. Perhaps you have a thought.
That promise that whatever we pray in his name or according to his will, that yes. he'll do it. I think that ties to the watching as well, because we have to be careful as to what we pray for, that it is according to his will.
Yeah, that's really, isn't it? According to his will, Richard.
And then also watching has to do with expectancy, or sometimes he answers in ways that we don't expect that he'll answer, and we might miss the blessing if we're not looking and awaiting his response.
You mean surprise us in a way? I think it's, if you've gotten to a place where you think it, you know everything, and been there and done that, I want to challenge you that in the matter of praying, there's more there than you can really believe. I think I speak for all of us. Yes?
And I can attest that sometimes it takes a long time to get an answer for prayer. I prayed for a year for a church, and he led us here after a year.
Oh, so Judy, I'm glad you're here.
The scripture says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yep.
That's quite a challenge.
Yep. We need to pray for one another. We have Christ. We have his imputed righteousness. Do you know that, don't you? We have Christ imputed righteousness, and so it puts us all in a category if we know the Lord, Bob.
It also has the word fervent in there, too.
Yeah.
Fallen asleep part comes from our nature.
Excuse me, please.
See, I think the fallen asleep part comes from our and being distracted in so many different ways.
Yes. Well, it's a battle, isn't it? It's a battle. If I'm not feeling well, you know, I'm not seem very strong spiritually. Have you found that out? Sometimes people are more spiritual when they're ill, maybe, but you get bothered about aches and pains. Yes. Anything else?
I just want to bring something up about it. Yeah. The Wednesday night message, I think that we weren't here, or something that I missed and I listened to later.
Yes.
Rick was preaching. And he said on there, it was about why we gather together as Christians. And he mentioned about, and this has come clear to me, about embers of coal. When there's a fire, the embers are close together, and you've got a warm, hot, workable fire. Yeah. But when you separate that one ember out by itself, it goes out because it doesn't have the support of the other coals around it to keep it.
That's good, isn't it?
I thought that was
that's
good.
Real good.
I'll bring that up.
We need each other. All right.